Why that's praise the Lord. The Lord bless each one this evening, and give everyone a warm welcome in the name of the Lord. We're turning to Matthew chapter 13 and verse 37 to 50. And this is the seventh parable. Now, I haven't preached in all the seven of them. I took one here and there over a few weeks ago. Probably I should have started for the first one, went through them, but I didn't. But this is about the seventh parable. And five of the parables are about the land, sowing the seed on the land and wheat and stuff like that, tares. But two of the parables is about the sea, or the oceans, the rivers, so forth. So we're tonight, we're on about the seventh parable, the parable of the net and the fish. And let's begin our reading tonight from Matthew 13, verse 47 to 50. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto the net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to the shore and sat down and gathered the good into the vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Let's bow our heads again tonight. And if you have a need this evening, just lift your hand up before the Lord and we'll remember you in prayer. Praise God. God bless you. God bless you. Heavenly Father, we just thank and praise you tonight that we can gather in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ again. And we know that we're two or three gathered in your name. You have promised to be in the midst and not to bless us. Lord, we need your blessing. We need your help. We can't do it without you, Lord Jesus. We need you. We confess we need you. And Lord, I'm asking for the Holy Spirit, and I take the Holy Ghost by faith right now in the name of Jesus Christ. And I thank you for the Holy Spirit. Pray you'll sanctify us and cleanse us with your precious blood, with the washing of the water of the word. And Lord, for every hand that's raised in this room and maybe some that would hear this message, Lord, I'm asking you'll meet every single need, financial, physical, or spiritual, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless our brother Matthew tonight, for every he's had to go, and others tonight. And Lord, our nurses, doctors, bless and strengthen. We pray again for David McConville, that you'll, from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet, he'll know your healing touch through his body. Mend him, make him whole. Make him to come well and normal in Jesus' precious name. And Lord, continue to bless and touch your brother Andrew. And Lord, for Brian, for Howard, Lord, for Frank, we pray your blessing on each and every one of them in Jesus' precious name. Everywhere, Lord, through the truth preached tonight, bless your servants in Jesus' precious name. Help us hear your word this evening and bless all that's came, and those that couldn't be here, bless and touch. And for the backslider, restore and renew. Speak to us tonight, we pray, and we ask for wee Laurie for your blessing and touch upon him as well. And all those that went through the waters of baptism, bless and touch and strengthen and fill with the Holy Spirit. Lead them and guide them today and tomorrow and the days and months that lay ahead in the name of the Lord Jesus. Bless your people now. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. I was just saying to Brother Bobby coming in, Elijah's friend Colum, boy, he really spoke well, didn't he?
Yes.
He really had a testimony. I'd love this. We could get him some night to come and share his testimony in the church here, or in the morning or night. It's not either way, but I tell you what, for a young fella, I tell you, everybody spoke well, but I don't know the young fella, and I was impressed with how he shared his testimony, how he got saved, just in a short time. And he had a real good boldness with him. It was great. And everybody did so well. And may the Lord bless each one. Here the Lord Jesus Christ here is in the house. And he's sitting down in the house. If you go back over in this chapter and read it. And he's teaching his disciples further truths. And many of these truths that he teaches the disciples, he teaches them in parables. And you know, they asked him and they said, it's given unto you to know, but unto others they won't know these things, but you'll know them. And the Lord teaches them. And here this net, I want to speak this evening about this net. And those that do a bit of fishing, you know, people that follow might be better. I was thinking the net coming in, you know, and the first time I ever went fishing, I think it was with Joe Flanagan. And our Philip was with us, and we used to get, who eats cornflakes in here? Well, I know some of you are looking up and say you need to get back onto them, but anyhow, we used to get the box of cornflakes. I don't know if you get anything like this now or not, but on the back of the box of cornflakes, if you saved up and cut the wee boy off the back of the box and saved it for so many weeks, you get yourself a fishing rod for £2 or £3. And it was literally just a few pounds. There you are, I didn't even remember some Shakespeare fiberglass.
Yes,
fishing rod, it was orange.
Yes.
But we saved these tokens in the back of the box. And I got with a Shakespeare orange. I won't ever remember that. But there's Philip, he remembers it. But I remember this here, and he'll know this. We went out to Bagney Lock. Was it Bagney Lock, Kilkeel?
Down.
And we went out anyway, we're fishing anyway. And I had the fish come right in on my bait. And I ripped it out of the water next year, you're not picking my wee bait. But I never let him get it. I was afraid of the fish sticking the bait. And the fish followed right in till I could have near lifted him. And a big mass of fish. And I always can remember that. The first time ever going fishing. And like I'm not no expert in fishing, I'm definitely not. Philip and Terry here knows more about fishing than my son, Daniel. But I always like to go fishing, and John can tell you, if I'm in New Zealand, I'd get a chance over to Albert's. Albert loves to take me out, scare the life out of me in his boat fishing over the waves. But Albert can fish, he can fish, and I've went with him a few times. But this net here is the first thing I want to talk about tonight. And this net here is the gospel net. There's a gospel net. But there's different nets and there's different dispensations. Now the Greek word has the meaning a dragnet. So this net here is a dragnet. It's not an ordinary fishing net. As the Gospels show, there were several ways of catching fish. And I want to try and show you that tonight. There was a fishing line cast from the shore, which I was doing. And catching one fish at a time. So you can fish with a line and you can catch the single fish from the shore. And this is an example when the Lord sends Peter for the money in Matthew 17. Just let me read you 24 to 27. And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, doth not your master pay tribute? He saith, yes. And when he was come into his house, Jesus prevented him, saying, what thinkest thou, Simon, of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute, of their own children or of strangers? Peter saith unto him, of strangers. Jesus saith unto him, then are the children free. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea and cast and hook and take up the fish that first cometh up, and when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give it for me and for thee. So the Lord sends Peter with a hook and his rod. You know what I'm going to tell you? It was that prophetic. I don't even think he needed bait in the hook. I believe he just went like that and the fish jumped on it. I don't even think he would have been waiting long. You know where you go fishing? If you've ever went out fishing. Now, I've went a few times, but not a lot. But maybe some people here have never fished. But fishing is a great thing if you've got patience. But if you don't have patience, it's no good. And there's a fellow who used to chum with my dad years ago, and he had a bit of money about him. And he says, Billy, I'm going to take up the fishing. And he bought himself the best rods and reels and equipment for you. It was unbelievable. It would have cost a clean fortune. And he went out, and he never lost it to dinner time. The whole lot was threw into the sea or wherever it was. He had no patience to fish. Well, Peter here didn't need it. He dropped the hook in. And he caught it through. The fisherman had just cast the line out. And then there was the larger cast in the net thrown from the boat out into the ocean. There also was a casting net from the shore. So there's the fishing with the line. There's a fishing for you can throw the net out from the shore. There's a fishing for you can throw the net out from the boat and you'll catch small shoals of fish. Now you could read that also in Luke 5, verses 1 to 11, where the fisherman and they threw in the boat and Simon Peter. And you could read all that. I won't read it for sake of time. And also in John chapter 21, you can read about it as well. And here in this parable, but what we're talking about tonight is a dragnet. Now I want you really to get this evening. This is not fishing with a line for one fish. This is not fishing where you throw it at the shore for a few fish. This is not fishing on a boat for you catching a wee shoal coming across. This is a dragnet. This net is weighted. It is dropped to the bottom of the ocean. And it drags the bottom of the ocean. And this net lifts everything. So when you get this net out, there's not all fish in it. It's not a bit like William Branham said. He said you'll pull in some wiggle tails, tadpoles, spiders, and frogs. But he said there was some fish in there as well. And this is the net. It is different from the fish nets. The drag net is that kind of net which actually drops to the bottom of the sea and brings anything and everything in its pathway. The word is only used here in this parable. There's no other parable mentions it. Only in Matthew's gospel. The other word used in the gospels is a large fishing net. It is spoken of mainly in other scriptures concerning nets, for regular fishing nets. So there's a regular fishing net, but in this one parable, it speaks of a dragnet. Now we're in the seventh parable here, and we're in the seventh church age. And it is amazing, you know, and I've seen it, and I'm sure you can agree. You get a man the day, and he goes out, and he can win souls. And some of them's not real. Some of them is real. And the preacher's blamed. Did you ever see that? I thought they all got saved under him. And they give him a good redding up. And the ones that's redding them up never won two souls in their lifetime. But maybe that man wins 20, and maybe only five of them go on. But he gets a good ear portion. Isn't that the truth? Billy Graham's a perfect example. Billy Graham, 1,000 coming, the next year there's not many. Well, sure, that's not Billy Graham's fault. Billy Graham done his part. And I tell you, this net's to be thrown out. This drag net's going to go out, and this drag net's going to catch everything. And you're not responsible for what is in the drag net. And I'll tell you better than that. We have a lot today, people they want to separate out. And they want to do the work of the Holy Spirit themselves. And you know, there's an awful lot in the way they preach today. They clean the fish before they even get it caught.
Yes.
It's not right. They want to set out a law for people that's not even saved. And they should dress this and do that. It'll never work. Until a person's really born again. There's no works there have to do to be saved. None at all. They're saved by the grace of God. And the God will take the prostitute of the street, the drug addict, the down and out filthy. The Lord will take them how they are and he'll save them. And he'll clean them up. But this net here, I tell you, this net's catching everything. And you're going to see, God doesn't tell the preachers, you'll separate here and you'll do this. God doesn't do that. God does the separate. And Paul says the gospel separates. Some to life and some to death. Now these regular fishing nets is the ordinary fishing nets, Matthew 4, verse 20, 21. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw their two brethren, James, son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the ship with Zebedee, the father, mending their nets, and he called them. Now, we're going to see later a bit about the mending the nets and all that. Now, if you want scripture on just the nets, Mark 1, verse 18, 19, Luke 5, verse 1 to 6, John 21, 1 to 12, Matthew 4, verse 18. You could just do it yourself. You know, if you've the means, you can go in the phone now, so handy, isn't it? If you've got the wee app, there's this Bible wheel. How many knows that? You get it on your tablet, on your phone. Scripture's like a wheel. And you put it in, it just finds it like a flash. Isn't it some job? And you think of men years ago, took years just to do out concordance and stuff. And we could look that up now in 2 minutes. Everything. So wonderful. Now there's a casting of the nets. In Ezekiel 26, verse 5 and 14, and also in chapter 47, 10, but I'll just turn quickly to Ezekiel 25, verse 5 and 14. It shall be a place for the spreading of the nets in the midst of the sea. For I have spoken it, saith the Lord God. Now when you speak of the sea, you're talking about peoples. Your Bible talks of people as many waters. And it shall become a spoil of the nations. Verse 14 of Ezekiel 26. And I will make thee like the top of the rock. Thou shalt be a place to spread nets upon. Thou shalt be built no more. For I, the Lord, have spoken it, saith the Lord. Then you have this dragnet. So there's old nets that talks about in the Bible, if you understand me. You know, there's even a net. I'll tell you another net, but I haven't mentioned. And this net's important. Two of you are fishing. And Philip here probably has one. Terry, I'd say, has one as well. Now, you know, if you go with your fishing rod, you have different strengths of line and stuff. And a good fisherman could go with a real light sort of a line, still bring it in. Because when he gets it in so far, he won't use the rod and he let that fish into his fish. He doesn't do that. When he gets the fish in far enough, he lets the fish tire himself. Then he gets it in and then he takes a net. And it's on a long pole. And it goes away out and he just goes like that and he lifts it in. How many knows what I'm talking about? That type of net. Lantern net. What's that, Philip? A lantern net. So there's a lantern net. And there's some nets. And here this dragnet, Psalms 141, verse 10. Let the wicked fall into their own nets. Wilt thou that I withal escape? Now I want to go back to our original scripture in Matthew again. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a net. Matthew 13, 47 to 50. That was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind. So this dragnet gathers everything. Every single kind this dragnet gathers. Now I have heard preachers saying in pulpits, oh, they're not for me. They're the foolish virgin or whatever. Real derogatory statements, really, when you think of it. I'll be preaching to the bride tonight. That's absolute nonsense. That man can't say that. If that man's the Spirit of God on him, and he is called as an evangelist to evangelize and to throw out a net, he does not know what's coming in that net. That's God's business. And only God's business. Now God might give him good salmon. And salmon's beautiful, aren't they? But you don't know what you're going to get in the net. But that's not important. The important thing is you throw it out. God will do the predestination bit, who the right ones are and who's not. See, verse 48, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So there was a net throwing, and the net brought in different types, and there was a separation. Now there is coming a day of separation. There is a day when God will separate the real from the false. And God's going to separate. Verse 49, show it will be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And that is a mouse, a strong cord used to catch things. Or a means of catching, you know, birds, bass, fish, otherwise you can catch a lot of things with that. You know, there used to be an awful lot of pet shops, with pet shops in Bonbridge, and there was wee wild birds in it, and there's fellas here around the country here, they used to catch them wee wild birds in nets, sell them in the pet shop. Then somebody that should never have had that wee bird took it home, put it in a cage. And the wee poor bird was stuck in there. Now you don't hardly see any of them wee birds because some other fella that was smart brought in them owl yolks that kill everything. You know, they kill all them wee birds from the hedges, they kill the pigeons. They kill everything. They kill all around them, hawks, peregrines. And they said, well, with no peregrines, we need to get peregrines, and they bred peregrines. Now the country's coming down with them. And them kites as well. And then they tell you the kites will not do anything. Well, the kites have got to be now, they're starting to lift lambs and stuff. Send them, you see. It's a nature in them. Now they're lovely birds, don't get me wrong, tonight they're lovely birds. But I'm just saying, you don't want to be catching them wee fancy birds and sticking them in a cage. Isn't it great you could go out there in the country and see them wee boys, different colours? You know, there's a wee yellow bird down here in Scarva. There was a big write-up about it. They hadn't seen this type of wee yellow boy for years. But I seen him several times. There was two of them down there for the water gets shut off down there at Scarva. You can cross over the road if you're going across the Tandagee. Because I used to be down there quite a bit. I used to meet a fellow there with my pigeons in the morning. And I spotted these wee boys. And I had a couple of pictures of him. I can't remember the name of him tonight. I'm terrible at remembering things. But he was a beautiful wee bird. But if you kept catching them and putting them in cages, you wouldn't have them. Sure you wouldn't. But there's some wonderful things. Rock used to say he used to get out in the morning and hear the choir. And I used to wonder, how did he hear the choir in the morning? What you talking about? And then when we moved out into the country ourselves, and I said to the wife, listen, do you hear them wee birds? You'd never hear it in the town. And if you live in the country, you mightn't think of it. But if you go out early in the morning, you hear them all singing, like a wee choir. All chirping and singing. It's great, isn't it? All God's creation. And these nets can catch everything. The drag nets are specially used for, you know, drawing all kinds of fish from the bottom of the sea. It's superior to just fishing for one. And the drag net is a gospel net, and it speaks of the ministry of Christ's disciples. That he called them fishers of men. And to do great work, evangelistic work. And you know, Peter, I believe, had a big net. And I told him, we've been preaching in two sermons. Look how many will see him. Peter wasn't working with one wee line. Peter had a big net, hadn't it? And he's seen a lot saved. And God's blessed men over the centuries and the years with a very big net. And they catch a lot of fish. Then there's the other fellas, maybe they're just working with line, but they're still catching fish. They're still doing a good job. The drag net speaks of the great ingathering of fish. Not catching one fish at a time. It is a great catch of fish, like the beginning and the end of Christ's ministry, where the disciples threw their nets in for the miraculous catch of the fish. And you see it at the start of Christ's ministry, you see it in Luke 5. And near the end of Christ's ministry, you also see it. And we preached about it before, where the ship's near sunk with a net. And you think of that net, think of it as well. And I thought of this myself, you see. The net where they were, their net was maybe going to get a wee shoal of fish, what they were using. But when the Lord signed them, it broke nearly. And they get the boats to come and help them because that brought a fish multiplied. I'll tell you, when God sends you, God will honour his word, won't he? He will honour his word. Now you can read Luke 3:5 and see it. And let me just read you a wee bit from John 21. This is the end of his ministry. Luke 5 is the start of his ministry. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples, verse 1 of John 21. At the Sea of Tiberias, none the wise, he showed himself. There were together Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately. You say, what's important about that? Peter had quit fishing, but he had started again. Did you know that? It started again. And sometimes we'll go back to things. But isn't it amazing how the Lord used that thing miraculously? And then he sent him to the feast for men. And just as Peter's, you could say it like this, Peter's last natural catch. I don't know if he fished after this again, I don't know. But the Bible says he left his nets and followed the Lord, didn't it? So let's say this is the last time ever he fished naturally. Look at the fish he caught. Then when you see after Pentecost, the fish he catches when he works for the Lord, multitudes were saved. One place there's 3,000 souls on it. That's a lot of people saved. And that you think of Whitewell Metropolitan at its peak was 3,000 people, maybe a bit more, but 3,000's a lot. If you had 2,000, you could near say it's 3,000. But it was a lot of people, wasn't it? They reckon it did reach 4,000 people. You think Peter could see them converted just like that? People talk about revival. That there's a move of God. Look, you can read all through this and how he caught these fish, dragging the net, the fish at verse 8. And as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire and called the Lord of the fish, cooking on the fire. In the Gospels, we see this, the disciples casting their nets in Matthew 4:18. Then we also see in Matthew 4:21, mending the nets. So there's a casting of the net, there's a mending of the net. And then also in Luke 5:2, there's the washing of the net. What's that tell us? That tells us that the net is very important to the fisherman. The net is very important to the fisherman. The net's very important. It must be kept in good condition, in good order to catch fish. And we have a gospel net that we must guard, that we must look after. And we cannot water down the gospel message or change it, but we need to look after the net. And keep the net true and right. And always have it. And never be afraid to use it. That every time we get an opportunity, we throw the net out. And expect to catch fish in that net. Now, yesterday there was a rain and there wasn't many people that passed by us. There was a few. And they came on through us, didn't they? Three people, they went on through, they weren't for stopping. And I think maybe all was sharing at that point. I can't remember, but anyhow, they heard a bit anyhow. You know. But thank God for the gospel net. Now the sea here, the significant to see that the first five parables in Matthew 13 have to do with the earth, while the last two have to do with the sea and the ocean. The first five parables concerns the products of the earth, the seed, the birds, the mustard seed, the meal, the leaven of the earth. But the pearls and the fish have to do with the sea. And the parables moves from the land to the sea. In Revelation 10:2 it says, and he had in his hand a little book open. He set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot upon the earth. And everybody quotes Revelation 10:7, but what about Revelation 10:2? In Revelation 10:2, John sees a mighty Jehovah, the angel of the Lord, capital A. He has one foot in the land, one foot in the sea, signifies all things are under his feet. Now this ingathering, this dragnet gathered fish of every kind, the good fish, the bad fish. It was a mixed catch indeed, it gathered of every kind. It is the seventh parable and speaks of the end time. And we're in the seventh church age and we're speaking about the end time. But yet you'd think to hear some people at the end time, we're going to go out with a wee rod and a line. But in this seventh parable, they're not working with a rod and a line. They're working with a dragnet. They're reaching all. It's the last harvest, if you like. Right at the last church age. And I know a lot of people,
they're happy to sit back and say, we've got great revelation and that can be all true. I'm not deriding that. But they don't want to do nothing in the sense of reaching nobody. That's a sad thing in my book. We need to reach others for Christ. They gathered every kind this seventh, in gathering the good, the bad. It's the kingdom's present here in the mystery form. The Lord's give this. The laws of the Lord are given to Israel with the laws, which by they could discern the good from Leviticus, Deuteronomy. They could discern the fish from the bad and the good. Did you know that in the Old Testament? I'm going to show you in a minute. The unclean from the clean fish they could discern because God told them. The two signs of a clean fish were fins and scales. Whether in the water or in the sea or in the rivers of the land, anything else was an abomination to the Lord. So you weren't allowed to eat an eel. Now I know people's ate eels and near like snakes and all sorts of stuff come out of the water. But the Bible forbids it. If it hasn't got the fins, just like it says, and I'm going to show you in a minute, they were unclean, forbidden to eat these fish. Leviticus 11, 9 to 12. Now look, I've eaten an eel before, so relax. If you've eaten an eel, we're living in the day of grace. It's like a pig. Pig's unclean, but I've eaten lots of pig. And I'll continue probably to eat the odd slice of bacon. Because we're living under grace. But I'm telling you what the Old Testament laws were. Leviticus 11, 9 to 12. They shall eat of all that are in the waters, whatsoever of fins and scales in the waters and in the seas and in the rivers, them shall ye eat. On all that have not fins and scales in the sea and in the rivers, and all that move in the waters, and of any living thing which is in the waters, they shall be an abomination unto you. They shall be even an abomination unto you. Ye shall not eat of their flesh, but ye shall have their carcasses and abomination. Whatsoever hath no fins nor scales in the water, that shall be an abomination unto you. You're not allowed to eat it. Well, I'll tell you, these things, although they're the Old Testament, they're still good for the day, aren't they? I believe if we followed some of these Levitical laws and ate, you know, Jibber ate that stuff, probably I'll not even remember now. What's that bread? Sourdough bread. Any of you sisters ever hear sourdough bread? Now you know how many ingredients is a sourdough bread? Proper sourdough bread. Three ingredients. Only three. Not four or five. This is the problem we have today. Mm-hmm. I've been honest with you.
Yes.
You lift any loaf you want and you tell me how many ingredients is in it. A cup of 20. Mm-hmm. It's the same with all products. It's so much percentage of what it's meant to be. And then they fill it up with stuff called fillers. Pure rubbish. But the sourdough bread, the difference is this. There's some bread and if you eat it, you'll be looking like me, swelled up. And there's other bread, if you eat it, it won't swell you up. Because it doesn't have the garbage in it that swells you up. Now me and Phillips both work in the bakeries, and you know when we make the pops, and the wee pops come out of my machine, they're no bigger than that, and then they go into that room, and they stay in there, and they blow clean up till they're this size. And you know what goes in them, and I know what goes in them, and it's pure garbage. Oh, they might taste good, but this is what the country's living on. And you go into these laws in the Bible, and if you were to eat, Jesus ate bread. The disciples ate bread. Now I know a lot of people say bread's no good. My grandfather ate bread all his life. My mom was 90. So I don't believe all the business of the bread kills us. I don't believe that. But there's a lot of other things that's not good, it's not right. And it's the same in the spiritual. There's a lot of stuff they say they have the word, but there's other ingredients in their doctrine that they've added into the bread, and it's no longer leavened bread. It's leavened, it's not unleavened. There's something banana in it. There's death in the pot. It's not right. whatsoever of things. And here in Deuteronomy 14, 9 to 10, they shall eat of all that are in the waters, all that have fins and scales shall eat. Whatsoever of no fins and scales may not be eaten, it is unclean unto you. So the Lord knows the signs of the good fish and the bad fish. And they're all in the same net, but they're going to be separated. What I'm trying to say tonight is, we needn't worry ourselves about separating. We need to worry ourselves about catching fish. But there's people today and they've worried so much about separating. They've separated that much, there's nothing left. Nothing left to separate. We need to be fishing. Everybody agrees with me tonight. We need to be fishing. I'm talking about the fish we catch. I know we have to believe certain things. We know that. You see, this mixture in the net, again, as in previous parables, would say there's a mixture in the kingdom. They're both wheat, tares. There's a meal, there's a leaven, there's a mustard seed tree, and the birds, the good, the bad, the fish. The wailing fish gathered in, good and bad, guests, all gathered at the wedding. Look at Matthew 22, verse 10. So those servants went out into the highways. When? At the end. At the end time, they're to go out. And gather together all, as many as are found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. We're to go out and get all, and bring all. Bring them into the Lord, bad and good. And the Lord will decide who's serving him and who's not. And I'll tell you, when you preach the true word, people will join, people will leave with themselves. You'll have no problem. You'll not need to do anything. It'll happen. It's not right. Five out of the seven parables of mixture in them. And this mixture will remain into the kingdom and present state unto the end of the coming of Christ. And you know, he says he'll send his angels to separate. And the mixture has to be recognized in the age relative to the kingdom of God as manifest in the church. And here there's a full net. This is the thing, there's a full net. And when the net was full, it was brought to shore. May God help us to fill the net. I'll tell you, it's hard even in the natural. You go out to fill the net. And our governments are to blame. You know, people here are not allowed to fish on certain waters because they're forbidden. And other people from other countries can sail their boat in and fish in them waters. It's not a bit like some of the denominations. Now, we know a fellow not far from here. One denomination told him, don't you be starting any church within so many miles of here. But he thankfully never hated that, and he went ahead and he showed, didn't he? And he brought in the net. Amen. But I'll tell you, the denominations would have stopped him if they could. The full net speaks of the fullness of time. The end of the age, it brings one to the second advent of Christ. God will bring all to account. The righteous and the wicked, the wheat, the tares, the good and the bad, the fish, the parables of the wheat, the tares, in Matthew 13, 39 and verse 40, you can read them. And the parables of the good and the bad fish, in verse 49. And Ephesians 1 and 10, and I'm closing, that in the dispensation of fullness of times you might gather together in one all things, in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. God knows his own people. We should never worry ourselves too much. Who's in and who's out and who's this and that. We should worry about casting the net. May the Lord help us to catch the net. I want God to help me to catch the net. You don't know how much I enjoyed out yesterday outside. It was just a short wee word, but I enjoyed it. And I tell you what, I might just stick to the streets after that. Who knows? Because if there's nobody going to come here to listen, I might go where there's the sinners at. And I tell you, we need stirring up. T.L. Osborne said, we need to go where the sinners are. Thankfully, and hopefully everybody's saved here tonight, but there's places that are not saved. May God give us the boldness to reach them, to go out and throw the net out. And I don't care if they're flying one of them gay flags or an orange flag or a tricolour flag. If Jesus Christ gets a hold of them, he'll change them. He'll deliver them. And none of them flags will save them. There's not one of them flags that can take to heaven and say, Lord, I'm under this flag. It won't represent God. There's only one thing under the blood. Under the blood tag. Under the blood of Jesus Christ. The token. Let's stand our feet tonight. Praise God. I've held this long enough. God bless you. We'll be back on Thursday night. The Lord willing, and the Lord's always willing. That's the thing about it. The Lord is always willing. Praise God. Isn't God good? Let's close our eyes. And if you want prayer again, just lift your hand up before the Lord. Or if you want prayer for somebody, pray for Brother Simon here and Matthew. Hope they don't mind me saying, but they need a house quick. They've about a week to get a house. Now they've been trying to get one. So they need one. Pray that the Lord will get them a house. You remember, me and Sharon needed a house one time. Yes. And Sister Suzanne prayed in the prayer meeting. See, when she finished praying, I knew that God had answered it. I knew that night. Went out rejoicing. And about 2 days I had the house. It's not great. God could get you a house as quick as that. It's not wonderful. Heavenly Father, we just thank you tonight for the word of God. Help us, Lord, to throw out the net. Stir our hearts, O God, I pray. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, stir us, move us. Help us to be fishermen for your kingdom, Lord Jesus. Add to your work, such as should be saved. Father, I pray for the hands raised tonight. You'll meet every need. I pray especially for Simon and Matthew. Get them a house, quick. Lord, in Jesus' precious name, ask it. Father, have your way, I pray, in all of our lives, in all of our homes. As we heard this morning, we claim all of our family. We look beyond the fleshly things, and we're looking to your word and to your promise. Ye and your house shall be saved. Grant it, Father, we pray, in Jesus' precious name. Bless everyone in this room tonight, from the youngest to the oldest. Those that's listening in, bless and strengthen. Those that need a healing touch, heal, we pray. Bless your own people, Israel, and camp them round about with the angel of the Lord. And Father, keep us as the apple of your eye. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. God bless you as your brother Gary comes. God bless.
Let us sing a chorus or two just before we dismiss. He brought me in, he brought me in. I praise God, he brought me in. When I looked out yonder, where I might have been, I praise God, he brought me in. Praise God.
He brought me in. Thank you.
There has to be something to attract. Lord, if we don't have anything that attracts, we're going to catch nothing. Lord, your disciples went out that night of their own accord, of their own bat, and that night they toiled all night and they caught nothing. Oh Lord, unless you build a house, they that labour, labour in vain. Unless you keep the city, Lord, the watchman watches, but in vain. Lord, we need you.
Yes, Jesus.
We need your inspiration.
Yes, Lord.
We need your ability, Lord. And most of all, we need your love in our hearts. Mm-hmm. We say, oh God, give us a heart for others.
Yes,
a longing to bring souls to thee.
Yes, O Lord.
Give us the privilege to tell them of your love on Calvary.
Yes, Jesus.
Into the highways and byways, Lord, we'll be what you want us to be, O God. That's what the poet said. Oh, Lord, help us to redeem the time, because we know the time is short. And Lord, today, we need a real revival.
Yes, Jesus.
We need a revival among your people, Lord.
Jesus.
We need a stirring up, Lord, that will seek your face.
Yes.
And we'll have a desire to see the lost coming in.
Yes,
and being saved.
Yes, Lord.
Oh God, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, maybe it's wrong for us, but we see so much today that's called religion. And we know it's false. But we thank you, Lord, that the good tree can't produce corrupt fruit.
Amen.
Now does an evil tree bring forth good fruit.
Yes.
But Lord, you know them that are his. You, Lord, knows them that are his. And Lord, you know your own people tonight. And your sheep hear your voice. And they'll not follow a stranger. But Lord, help us to follow you. And help us, Lord, that one day when we stand before the judgment seat, we'll not have any regrets. But someone penned them words and said, by and by, when I look on his face,
yes,
I wish I had given him more.
Yes,
more of my life than I'd ever give before.
Yes,
help us, Lord, to give ourselves to you. Help us, Lord, to make ourselves available. Lord, I pray, God, you'll help us to be what you want us to be.
Yes.
I pray, God, you'll help us to be that city that's set on the hill that cannot be hid. And help us, Lord, to be that salt of the earth.
Yes.
But if the salt is lost, the savor is fit for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, I ask you for souls.
Yes,
Jesus. I ask you for souls, Lord. I pray, God, you'll give us a mighty revival.
Yes,
I pray, God, you'll send us the farmer and the
Jesus.
Man of rain in the
Amen.
First month. And Lord, I said it before,
yes,
and I'm saying it again, and I don't have to tell you, Lord, for you know. But when I walk down the natural orchard this year, there isn't any fruit on the tree. It's very scarce and very few, because there was no rain.
Yes.
Lord, I'm not blaming you. But Lord, give us the rain, because without that latter rain, the seed's not going to come forth. We need
yes,
the anointing
Lord.
That
yes,
destroys
Lord.
The yokes.
Yes.
Lord, we need the power of God coming in this room.
Yes.
And Lord, I believe that is the attraction that will bring the lost
yes,
in.
Lord.
And Lord, I pray when they do come in this room, the Holy Ghost is going to convict them of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment also, Lord.
Jesus'
name,
hallelujah.
Oh God, help us not to come to church to act. Help us not to play church or to play games. Help us to be real.
Yes, Jesus.
Because, Lord, one day that net's going to come to land.
Yes.
And when it comes, it's the end of the world. Lord, I believe there's going to be a catching up. We believe in a catching up, but
yes.
That's not the end. You said the end is not yet.
Yes.
But Lord,
yes.
Let your people, let them come alive. Touch our lips with a living code from off the altar.
Yes, Jesus.
Jesus' name. Oh, Lord, We bless your name for the souls and for them that have followed you through the waters of baptism. And we pray, God, that you'll fill them all with the Holy Ghost and fire.
Yes, Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. And help us, Lord, not to quench the fire, but help us, Lord, to bring oil and pour it on.
Amen. Yes, Lord.
And Lord, we pray that this fire will kindle among all the young people in this room, and among all the young people in our families.
Yes, Lord. Jesus' name.
And Lord, because you need laborers, and you said, pray therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest.
Jesus.
Lord, it's not our harvest, it's yours. I ask you, Lord, you'll do that for your glory and for your honor.
In Jesus' name.
Harness, Lord, with your fear on us tonight and your blessing on us. It makes us rich and adds no sorrow. In Jesus' name we say it. Amen.
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 Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise God. Last week, oh, we'll sing that little chorus. I love him. I love him because he first loved me and purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Praise God. You know, I think it would be a good idea, as Hoster was saying, if we get young Callum here to testify, and be a good opportunity, maybe some other people come. You know, there's people there yesterday that wasn't saved, and an opportunity to bring them in and just to get sharing the gospel. And he did. He spoke really well. And maybe Elijah, you lost him. Come share his testimony. But it was great, wasn't it? Praise God. Amen. The Lord bless you. Keep them things in prayer. And then I was so encouraged and blessed this morning when Tommy had mentioned that Brian's going to be coming again next year. Pray for those meetings as well. Praise God. And let's, you know, have an expectation. Praise God, that God to move. And, you know, let us dedicate our own selves to prayer also in preparation before he comes. You know, because the devil, he'll be angry. And he will do all he can to upset and do all he can to cause disturbance and anything he can to stop the moving of the Holy Ghost. So we need to be on our guard, not sleeping. We need to be awake, praise God, and wise till his decoys and all his actions, praise God. Lord bless you. As we go, I love him. I love him. Ah.